Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast and a happy 2025. I'm recording this still in 2024, but wishing you a happy and blessed 2025. This is a season where I pulled back from public preaching and teaching and just spending extra time with the Lord, time in renewal in my own heart and life. I started preaching in 1973 at the age of 18, so that was over 51 years ago. I started full-time vocational ministry in late 1983, so that is 41 years ago, and never taken a sabbatical in my life. Maybe the longest vacation was like 2 weeks. So the opportunity now to pull back, get extra time with the Lord is wonderful. Even in the midst of storms and trials, it's wonderful to pull back and really be with the Lord. So it's a great opportunity to do this. These are broadcasts we pre-record it with the goal of really ending the new year, ending the old year well, starting the new year well. And instead of my normal teaching, we're taking you back into messages that I preached previously. And now yesterday and today to a Q&A session from 2017, where I talk about breaking the stronghold of food. And these are questions one of the pastors is now asking questions that congregants have submitted. Again, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor. My PhD is in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University. So I can tell you about ancient healing practices in the Bible or ancient Mesopotamia or Egypt or things like that. But I can't tell you about nutrition today. I'm not a medical doctor or a nutritionist or anything. So the questions are more on practical levels. And hopefully they'll be a blessing to you as well. So we finish off the Q&A session from 2017. And then she made these things instead of chocolate, like brownies made from black beans, dates, and cocoa that are totally healthy, and they taste delicious. Once I got used to them, they taste delicious. I'll have like a little square, one of those in a day or something like that. So I try not to snack in between because I was always a bad snacker, and it's just a bad habit to have. So that's kind of the routine. But every day, again, I'm the kind of person that enjoys the same stuff every day. So every day having the salad, I look forward to it. Every day if it's the smoothie or fruit, I look forward to it. And then the if you have meat or something else, that's the small thing on the side. Instead of meat being the giant portion, that's the small thing on the side. No flour, no dairy, no sugar, no salt. It's wonderful. Liberating. But again, don't let me be the guy. The giant salad is the center point of every day. So yeah. big salad should be your main meal every day. And you'll learn to love it over a period of time if you don't now. But everything else, there's a million recipes. There's tons of different things depending on how creative you want to be or if you don't want to cook or if you do want to cook.
So with people that you've heard, because I know you've heard lots of testimonies and people writing in. So this question is about, is going cold turkey the only way to break a food addiction? And I'd love your input on that, but also maybe other stories that you've heard where, you know, you were able to just a cold turkey and shift. And have you heard any others that are, and then what would that plan be of kind of easing into it? What would you recommend if they couldn't do a cold turkey?
Yeah, and again, I could make the error of thinking, hey, God help me do it, God can help everybody, but
sure.
He helps everybody differently.
We have
different personalities.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just read an article the other day on how to break a sugar addiction, and basically it said that most people are not going to go cold turkey, and the withdrawal symptoms and all the negative junk, you know, they're not gonna wanna go through. I still think it's best if you can just be in an environment where people help you, because if you can make it through, it may take 2 days, it may take 5 or 6 days, but you will get through, and the whole time you're feeling miserable, just remind yourself, that's bad stuff leaving my body. This is all poison leaving my body, that's why I feel bad. But what this article recommended was just a gradual, systematic cutting back. So let's say you have 4 cans of Coke a day, that you, the first week you go to 3 cans, the second week 2 cans, third week 1 can, fourth week half can, fifth week nothing. Now I don't know if you go through withdrawal or not the way they described it. It seemed if you don't, you wouldn't. But to me, that's another kind of discipline. That may even be harder for some. But if you can gradually wean yourself off of something, great. The key thing is, the more that you replace the bad with the good, that's the key to getting free. If you will simply keep the bad there and try to bring more good in, it almost counteracts things. Like, for example, antibiotics and probiotics. I didn't realize that biotics were a good thing, that healthy biotics, that this is a positive thing. I just thought antibiotics is some bad thing in your body. That's why it's anti. Well, no, when you take an antibiotic, I had to take it for some ear infection last year, and you start to feel changes in your system because your whole system just works massively better, and that's because you have a healthy nutrition. So when you take antibiotics, you need to take probiotics to build the thing back up. In other words, you're doing something negative, you got to balance it with something positive, and you don't get the full results, okay? So to the extent you totally get rid of the negative and replace it with positive, you'll get freer much quickly. Mm. But that's another way to do it. Gradually wean yourself, add in, but then you've got to get to that point where it is 100% getting rid of the bad. Otherwise, you'll constantly fall back and you won't experience the full benefits. You know, that last 5 or 10% of the bad that you're hanging on to will stop you from experiencing the 100% benefits of eating healthily. It's amazing how deeply the changes come.
If you have a close friend that's showing pre-diabetic symptoms, doesn't acknowledge any concerns, how do you approach them in a godly manner? And even over the years, did you, and somebody did that, I don't know, you had your wife over these last several years, but kind of walk us through that, of how to do that effectively.
Well, it's like anything else where you know a person's struggling. This is no different. You see they're having a problem with drinking, or you see they're having a problem with their temper flaring up, or you see their, something, other behavior that's destructive or negative. Basically, what you do in that context is depends on how close the relationship is, how much ability you have to speak to them. For some, it's just, hey, I got to talk to you honestly, man. You're killing yourself. For others, you just really need to pray that they'll come to you. Pray that they'll get to that crisis point. Pray that they'll feel uncomfortable. And then when they come to you, you say, hey, this will help. For others, you think it's life and death. I'm just going to risk it, saying, hey, would you read this book? But look, I got a call. In January, I was at the Publishers in Orlando doing a live Facebook event on multiple sites, a live Facebook video, and I did my radio show for 2 hours, and we did interviews with folks about the book, and a guy called in from Virginia, and he said, listen, I don't listen to this station. I just happened upon it. He said, I know this is the Lord, and he said, I'm 6'4". I'm 310 pounds. Everyone says I'm just big. He says, no, I'm killing myself. He said, I'm tired. My knees ache. My back aches. I have no motive. He just goes through. He's crying on the phone saying, I need help, man. And people say, no, you're fine. You're this. He goes, no, I need help. So, of course, we sent him the book, and he was at that breaking point. So I'm sure that Nancy crying out to God on my behalf was a big part. I know I was crying out, but certainly her praying made a big difference. So if you have the ability to approach them, you do it. If not, then you pray that God will open a door, that they'll come to you, or that something will just happen. Years ago, God had me quit drinking Diet Coke. In late 1982, early 83, when I was doing more fasting than I had done, I realized that after I broke the fast, I still was headachy and weak until I had chocolate. So I realized, well, you're a chocoholic, you're addicted to sweets. So I determined I would quit having chocolate and sweets, which I did for certain periods of my life. So I was sitting at a restaurant with a friend, and he said, if you're off sugar, why are you having Coke? Why are you drinking Coke? I said, I'm not drinking Coke for sugar. He said, well, why are you drinking it then? I said, okay, I guess I should get rid of it. So I thought I'd just switch to Diet Coke to get rid of the sugar contact. And I got addicted to Diet Coke, and just addictive kind of personality. But I would drink it a lot. I'd find myself craving for it if I couldn't get it on an overseas flight or something, and physically craving it. People would say to me, Mike, you really shouldn't drink that. And I say, why? And they said, well, it affects your memory, your brain. And they'd look at me and thought, well, maybe not. So anyway, three different things happened. Three different things, all within 2 weeks. Someone told me, oh, you got to watch this video. It's this health doctor. He's talking about this stuff. And he makes this big fuss about Diet Coke and what's in it. I'm like, that's interesting. And then I go speak at a church. I've been there many times. And every church, when you go, they want to cater to you. They want to know, you know, would you like water in your room? Is there a certain snack? Would you have any needs? And, you know, they want to be hospitable. So we had the same list as always, you know, pretzels and chocolate and Diet Coke in the room, right? And I get there, and there's pretzels and there's chocolate, but there's Arizona green tea. What in the world? So I saw the lady, Pauline, the hospitality lady. I said, hey, what's with the green tea in my room? She goes, Dr. Brown, I just couldn't get you Diet Coke. It's just so bad for you. I couldn't get it. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Arizona green tea in my room. And then a third thing happened. I forget what it was. And I thought, okay, God, you're getting my attention, so I'm done with this. And it was fine. No withdrawal, zero. It just was good. So God helped me, but I'm sure people were praying.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a quick break, and then we will be right back to finish off the Q&A session. May it be a blessing to you.
Are you tired of feeling run down, constantly battling colds, flu, and infections? Trivita's elderberry with zinc and vitamin C is here to give your immune system the boost it needs. Trivita's elderberry, zinc, and vitamin C supplement is a 3-in-1 capsule scientifically formulated to support your immune system naturally. Elderberries have been cherished for centuries for their wellness benefits, and now Trivita has harnessed the immune system-supporting power in every bottle of Trivita's elderberry, enhanced with zinc and vitamin C to help you fight off colds, flu, and infections. Now is the time to boost your immune system and the immune systems of those you love with Trivita's 3-in-1 elderberry, zinc, and vitamin C supplement today.
To order elderberry with zinc and vitamin C for yourself, order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of the proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584. 1-800-771-5584. 1-800-771-5584. Or online at trivita.com.
Shout out of appreciation, as always, to our co-sponsor, Trivita, and to each of you who stand with us. Let us finish off the Q&A session now.
Are you at your ideal weight now?
Actually, I'm about maybe 5 pounds over. I got down to my ideal weight. I put a little muscle on, but then Nancy and I were talking that I should take off a few pounds, that I just feel, not out of some vain thing,
but
one thing happens though, just get used to it. If you've been overweight all your life and you lose weight, you're gonna have a little excess skin. That's life. So, you know, I'm sure if I didn't have that, I'd be at the ideal weight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could, I think probably just having a few extra nuts here and there over the course of the day, or a little snack here and there, over the course of weeks, builds up a little, but I'm real, real close. I basically stayed within 5 pounds or so from my ideal weight since I hit it, and it's easy to stay here.
That's good. Do you find it easier to, we just got a couple more here.
Yeah.
Do you find it easier to fast as you've been living a healthier lifestyle?
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. It's easy for me to go without certain foods or just without food if the need arises. But because my whole lifestyle is one of this constant discipline, it feels, not in a deprived way, but like a constant fast. You know, when people say I'm having no meats, no sweets, you know, I'm doing a Daniel fast, it's pretty much how I live 24/7. So there's the 100% discipline every day in my diet. And then if for whatever reason I have to skip foods or a meal or can't have something, it's much, much easier. Hmm. I'm sure most of the struggles I had in fasting before were because of my addictions.
Wow. How do you carry your food around with you?
Ah, all right.
What's the secret?
The secret is an extra piece of luggage. So this trip, I just packed everything in one, but normally, let's say I'm going overseas. So what I do is I take, for each day I'm gonna be there, I take one box of beans, which is a cup and a half of beans, and I have this little strainer I travel with. It's a plastic thing. You push it open, strain, and then you close it up. So it's like a little portable strainer. Someone just got me portable plates to travel with. Yeah, just because they're in Israel with me. And portable, and just like renewable silverware kind of thing, just a plastic to take. But anyway, so I take a box of beans for each day. Then I take, measure out what I'm gonna have for nuts and seeds, just throw those in some bags and seal those. And then like whatever the stuff I have instead of chocolate, if it's some, you know, whatever the things are, these healthy things, have those for each day. And then the key part is the frozen stuff. So I have a thermal container. It's like this, you know, just fits in a piece of luggage. And I'll put an ice thing in there to keep it cold, and then some of the soups, the super healthy soups or the super healthy veggie burgers, I'll put them in there, and then that can last 30 hours. So most places I'm going overseas, I get there within 30 hours, or at least I get to a hotel where I can put them in a refrigerator. So wherever we go, people know I need a refrigerator to refrigerate the stuff. And then we just ask the folks once we get there to please have fruits and vegetables and things like that, and to know that that's what I'm gonna ask to eat. And, right. and they can take me wherever I want. I'll get a salad virtually anywhere. And then I'll take certain salad dressings with me, store-bought, because that's the only way we can travel with them. Store-bought, I'll put those in. And interestingly, going to Singapore, my first trip about 2 weeks into this, it was like a 10-day trip. And we were packing everything. We didn't have the process down then. So the only way to do it was I had to carry one extra piece of luggage with me, and I had to pay $250 to do it. I know many don't have that to do, but I thought for healthy living, for life transformation, it's worth it. That's the only time I ever had to pay. Otherwise, we work it in within our allotted luggage. And because I fly so much, you know, that's not a problem. Mm. But you got to plan it out.
Yeah.
Plan it out. And then I always thank God for the healthy stuff, because the soups, that kind of soup, yuck. Every cauliflower in it, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, stuff you'd gag on. Now it's like, oh, this is good. It's amazing. I'll eat, you know, Nancy came up with this one soup called Kitchen Sink, and it's literally the menu. It's literally a page this long, every imaginable healthy thing. You could put, you know, all the mushrooms and this and that. When she makes it, I mean, just the whole kitchen's filled as she's making it. And then she'll make enough for like 30 servings and then have to cook again for a couple months. And I would have gladly fasted. I would have gladly eaten dry, stale bread rather than touch that. Now I eat it, it's like, this is amazing. And I'm thinking, I'm investing in life, I'm investing in health and thanking God for it. It's just, it's crazy.
It's awesome.
It's like April Fool's crazy.
So the last one right here, and then we want you just to pray for us.
Yeah.
You mentioned your workout regime and pretty intense.
Yeah.
They want to know how long it'll take for you to get Pastor Ron and you guys to do like a dual video workout regime. We want to see it. We want to see. Actually, the drummer back there, Evan, you know, he's into this CrossFit. Insanity, I think, is what he was saying.
Uh-huh.
And he was giving a little challenge back there earlier. So
is he still here?
I told him you'd take him on like tonight before
tonight.
We went back to the hotel.
Deal. All right. We'll have a little friendly contest.
Fun.
Yeah. No, I got just the exercise to do. We'll do it before we leave.
But pray for us.
Yeah. So the one thing, exercise is important, but diet is much more important. Okay. So don't say I'll exercise more, because I worked out heavily before,
yeah,
and
I was
heavy and high blood pressure and all of that.
Yeah.
So I mean, I worked out like this before.
Well, they know they say it's like 80% diet, 20% as far as the real impact of health.
Like my trainer always used to say, abs are made in the kitchen. And I just think, okay, I can exercise more, and that's going to make up for the chocolate or the pizza or this or that. It's like, no, it doesn't. So if you know, eat healthy first, and then you'll have more energy to exercise, all right? Well, let's pray.
Yeah.
Lord, we love you, and Lord, this is the most unlikely scenario that I'm the one talking about healthy living and healthy lifestyle and weight loss. It's absolutely your grace, and if you did it for me, you could do it for anybody here. So I'm just asking you for an infusion of supernatural grace, and for everyone that takes the time to read the book, may they never be the same. And for those who cry out to you and go back home tonight and say, God, I'm an addict, I need help. Help them the same way you helped us when you saved us and delivered us from sin and bondage. May Jesus be glorified through lifestyle transformation. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give Dr. Brown
a big
hand.
Thank you. God bless you. All right. Well, we ended the year, started the new year talking about breaking the stronghold of food. The book that Nancy and I wrote on that subject by that title, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, Michael Brown with Nancy Brown, I believe will be a blessing to you. The publisher told me, the head of the publishing company said, Mike, I have to admit, I kept skipping ahead to Nancy's part because hers was in italics, because that was the best part. I said, yeah, her words are always the best. Her words are always the number one contribution, for sure. Absolutely for sure. But we pray that book will be a blessing to you. And I want to take you back to probably Nancy's famous part, favorite part of the book, which was my weakest moment. It was about three weeks into changing my lifestyle. So I'd gotten rid of all the unhealthy things I'd eaten pretty much my whole life, you know, the sweets, the chocolates, the breads, and then at a certain point in life, the pizza, the pasta, and the fried foods, and went through three miserable days of withdrawal and set free physically. Now I had emotionally changed. I had to change my mindset. I realized that food was my reward. Wherever I'd minister, where I'd preach all day, and I'd go back to my hotel, I can eat what I want. Writing all night, I can snack all. Food was my reward, so I had to change my lifestyle. No, food is the fuel for a healthy life. The healthy life is a reward. Yeah, I got it. So now I'm living differently. Everything's feeling different. Good. I'm 3 weeks in, and I got home from doing radio, took a short nap, and then I had to go teach at a night class with our School of Ministry that was still in operation. And now it's online, fireschoolofministry.com for those interested. But it was, you know, class. I was on my way to teach. I woke up from the nap and I really had a desire for sweets. I wanted something sweet. And I thought, okay, sweets, there's a healthy sweets, like fruits. Okay, just have some fruit. Good. It's a healthy sweet tooth. But somehow we had no fruit in the house. I mean, now we're always properly stocked, but I was just getting used to the new lifestyle with Nancy and I didn't have any fruit. So I thought, okay, I can stop. No, I don't have time to stop at the grocery store because I got to get to the class. I thought, maybe a gas station, convenience store. Maybe they've got, who goes to a convenience store at a gas station looking for a fruit? I finally find this juice. Nancy said, don't have these juices. There's all these sugars. I thought, well, this is naked juice. Maybe it doesn't have so much bad stuff in it. So I'm drinking the juice and I'm about to go to the class. Literally, I'm sitting in my car outside the class. And I thought, I can't take, you know, the rest of my life, I'm never going to have a slice of pizza. The rest of my life, I'm never going to have a scoop of chocolate ice cream. The rest of my life, I'm never going to have a burger and fries. I can't take this. It's too much. I'm going to have to find fruit somewhere. And I literally start crying in my car like a baby. Say, Lord, I can't. Some of you relate. It's like, yeah, been there. And in my mind's eye, I saw myself looking down, laughing at me as I'm crying, thinking this is just what you need. You need to come to the end of yourself. And that's what was happening. You come to the end of yourself. I can't. And when you do, you come to the beginning of God's grace. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe that's where you start. I can't. I need my food. I want my food. And maybe you'll begin to recognize God's power can be made perfect in your weakness. He's carried me, and I'm thriving, and it's beautiful, and it's easy, and it's 10-plus years. But it wasn't always so. Blessings to you. This is Dr. Michael Brown. Thanks so much for tuning in. Just a reminder that we are listener-supported.